Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. How are we feeling out there? Awesome. You guys are looking good. Welcome to Next Level Church. Today we are continuing our series, Complaining in the Promised Land. Before we dive into things, I do want to give a few shout outs. First off, every single Sunday is someone's first time at Next Level Church. So if you're a regular attender, would you help me welcome our first time guests that are here today? And second, I want to give a special shout out to our online community who is joining us and also to our military community. Would you help me welcome them? And I want to give one final shout out to a couple of our owners. At Next Level Church, we don't have members, we have owners. Members have rights, owners have responsibilities. What that means is that when Next Level is your church, then you do your part to make it the best that it can be. After all, it's not about us, it's ultimately about God, and He deserves our best. And so we are building His church, we're building His kingdom, and when this is your church, you give back. And this building that we are in is a miracle. It's a part of our story. If you haven't heard it sometime, I recommend you hear it at some point. But it is a part of our story that we prayed and God delivered. He gave us a building for free with no debt. But it is an older church building, and it has some wear and tear on it. And at the exact same time, we are an active church. And so when you have people that are coming in and out of the building, there's some wear and tear on the building. There's just some dings and some nicks that happen on a regular basis. And to help us look the best that we possibly can, we had two owners who this week came in and patched a handful of our walls that had just nicks and parts cut out of them, and then they painted those walls, and they did it on their own time. They came in during the day, and there's a picture of the after. Would you help me thank them? In case you're wondering, that paint color is Careless Whisper. Careless Whisper is the color. But I am so grateful for them. They came in and gave their own time to help make sure our church is the best that it possibly can be. And if you're ready to make Next Level your church, like Scott talked about, the first step is pizza with the pastor. And we'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing here at Next Level Church. So today we are continuing our series. And this series is really based off a real story, something that happened to real people in what we call the Old Testament of the Bible. If you're not familiar with the Bible, it's divided into two sections. There's the Old Testament, the New Testament. The Old Testament is God's people that He calls out of slavery into a wilderness and eventually into a promised land. They're often referred to as the children of Israel or the Israelites. And then the New Testament is the story of God sending His Son Jesus, and then the New Testament church. And so in the Old Testament, we hear about these Israelites, and God delivers them from slavery, and He promises them this amazing promised land that is flowing with milk and honey, and He tells them that He's going to give it to them. Well, after wandering in the wilderness for a while, they send 12 spies into the promised land. And the 12 spies come back, and they have amazing fruit, just the biggest fruit they've ever seen before. And they have all this amazing stuff from the land, and they come back and they report, like, yes, this is an amazing land. It is flowing with milk and honey. It's a great thing. This is going to be a great place for us to live. But 10 of the spies go negative. And 10 of the spies start to complain and start to say, yeah, it is great, but there's also giants that live there. And they start to complain, and they infect the entire community. And before you know it, everyone is complaining against Moses, who is God's called person to lead them. And everyone is complaining. Everyone's being negative. And there becomes a consequence to their complaints. Because they were negative, God says, okay, you will not see the promised land. Your kids will, but all of you are going to end up dying in the wilderness. And for 40 years, you're going to wander around before you enter into the promised land. And this is what led one pastor, his name's Mark Batterson, to say this. I think it's a great quote. He says, negativity is more than an attitude issue. It's a spiritual issue. It could cost you 40 years and keep you out of the promised land. So negativity, complaining, being negative, it's more than just something that's in your personality. It's more than just not getting your way. It is actually a spiritual issue, and there are consequences to having a bad attitude. Now, here's the thing. You can't control all your circumstances. You just can't. And you can't control other people. But with God's help, you can control your attitude. Your attitude is incredibly important. Do you see a negative situation as an opportunity for God to do a miracle, or do you see it as a hopeless situation? Your attitude is crucial. The way you see the situations that you're in, do you see it as, okay, God, this is a chance for you to do a miracle, or do you see, woe is me, why am I going through a difficult situation again? So your attitude is incredibly important. But here's something that we've been, at least I've been trying to address every week in this series. We are not to be people who complain. We're not to be grumblers. We're not to be whining. But what do we do when we're in real life situations that are really tough? Like, we don't have to fake it till we make it. We don't have to pretend like everything is okay when we go through a real life tragedy or when we go through difficulties. And Scripture actually gives us room to mourn. It gives us room to cry. It gives us room to be human. And this is why on week one we looked at there's a difference between grumbling and groaning. Grumbling is a negative attitude that does not honor God. Grumbling is a negative attitude that does not honor God. Grumbling comes from, often, it comes from not getting your way. It comes from someone telling you no when you wish they said yes. It comes from doing hard work that you did not want to do. It was not of your own choice. Grumbling is, I'm not doing what I want to do, and so I'm going to complain. I'm going to murmur. I'm going to talk negatively about the situation that I'm in. And the problem with grumbling is that grumbling often causes us to miss the promised land that God has placed us in. Years ago, I was a part of a church plant, and we rented out the YMCA to set up church. And so every single week, we had 2 to 3 trailers that were filled with everything you need for church, and we would get there early in the morning, and we would transform the YMCA into a church service. And a big part of that was these big mats that we would roll out onto the gym floor so that we wouldn't scuff the basketball courts. And these mats were incredibly heavy, and it took 2 people to roll out each mat. And it would go the length of the court, and there were multiple mats that would go across the court. And so we'd set up the mats, set up chairs, set up kids' environments. We set up everything you need to do church. And then we would do 2, and at some point we went to 3 services. Now the setup and the services was tough, but the most difficult part was the teardown. Because after the services, everyone just wants to go home and eat. Everyone wants to go home, take a nap. Everyone wants to, like, we're done with church. We've already done this. We've been here for a few hours. And so finding people to help us tear down was not an easy task. And we tried to make it the best that we could. We used to play some games with the mat where we would see who could, like, what teams could roll it up the fastest. And we would, like, race up and down the court. And we even had a cheer that we would start before we would do the setup or teardown. And we would all meet together as a team. We'd put our hands in the middle, and we'd say, "We love setup and teardown. Woo!" We were all lying, but we would say it every week. Woo! It was a lot of hard. It was a lot of hard work. Here's what I remember, though, about that time period. I remember that people were constantly complaining. "I can't wait till we get a church building. I can't wait till we don't have to set up anymore. Man, I'm just getting too old to tear down." Every week it felt like someone was complaining about the circumstance. Someone was complaining about what we had to do. But here's something that's interesting. Eventually that church did get its own building. And once it got its building, there was no need for setup and tear down. And for 2 to 3 years after setup and tear down ceased to exist, I would run into people, whether it was a Sunday morning or sometimes just out like at Costco, and people would tell me the same thing. People that were part of that team, they would stop me and say, "You know what I really miss? Setup and tear down." I'm like, "What? What? You complained about it for years. You miss it now?" And I even had people who would say to me, "I have not found a place where I belong since we've gotten rid of setup and tear down." Now, here's the issue with it. So often, the things that we complain about are the promised lands that God's already given us. And when you complain about something, you miss in the moment. You miss this time period. And it is so easy to do. It's why that song says we often don't know what we have until it's gone. And the reason we don't know is because we're complaining about it. We're saying, "Well, I wish my spouse was different. I wish my kids were different. I wish I had a different job." And we're missing the moment of what God wants to do in the moment. And when we complain and grumble in the moment, it does not honor God. But groaning is something that is very different. Groaning is when the circumstance is hard and you're relying on God. Groaning is where you do cry out, and it could be emotional. It's where you just say, "God, I can't do this anymore." Groaning is something that God does honor because it shows him that we're relying on him. Some of you are familiar with my story, but my wife and I went through 10 years of infertility, and after 10 years, we ended up doing IVF, and we were blessed with twins. But during her pregnancy with the twins, we had a lot of complications, and there were a lot of scares. And there were multiple times where we thought we lost the babies. And I remember one night when I was really scared that we had lost, at that time, we didn't know we had twins, so I just thought we had lost the baby. And I was trying to stay positive to my wife, and I was trying to keep a good attitude about things. But the stress was just getting to me. And so
I needed to get out. I needed to do something to clear my mind. And so I decided to go out for a jog. It was like 10 o'clock at night. Now, you know things are bad if I'm outside running at 10 o'clock at night. But I didn't know what else to do. And so I put on my headphones. I change into to some jogging clothes. And I go out, and I'm just running. And I'm not even listening to the music because my brain is just it's just so afraid. And it's so filled with like anxiety and worry. And after I'm running just for a few moments, I stop in the middle of the street, and I literally just look up, and I'm like, I don't care who sees me. I don't care who hears this, but I literally cried out to God. I said, God, please, please save our baby. And I'm talking about, like, tears coming down. There's snot coming down. Like, it is groaning at its best. It's crying out to God. God, do you hear me? God, I need you to do something, because I'm struggling right now. And at that moment, something amazing happened. All of a sudden, my ears started listening to the music that was in my headphones, and there was a song being played. It's by John Foreman. He's the lead singer of Switchfoot. And the song lyrics said, exactly at that moment, why do I worry? Why do I freak out? God, you know what I need. That lyric gave me so much hope. It made me say, okay, God, you do hear me. You do know what's going on. You see me groaning right now, and I'm not alone. God honors and answers those type of prayers. So when you go through a difficult circumstance, you don't have to pretend to be better than you are. You don't have to put on a fake smile. It's okay to say, hey, this is a tough situation. But at the same time, you hold on to hope that your tough situation isn't the end of the story. It's not over yet. We have a miracle-working God, and so because of that, we keep a positive attitude through the wilderness, through the difficult circumstance. And today, what I want to show you is something that I think is so crucial in order to keep a good attitude. It is the secret to happiness. The idea is that if you learn the secret of happiness, your grumbling and complaining is going to go way down. When you're happy, you're typically not complaining. When you're complaining, you're typically not happy. And Jesus gives us this secret, and that's what we're going to look at today. But at Next Level Church, we honor the text, and the way that we do that is by standing to our feet, reading it nice and loud. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet and read with me Matthew 5:3. And if you're new to Next Level Church, you need to know that we do something a little bit weird right here. We're going to read the text, and when we get to the reference, Matthew 5:3, there's two dots between the 5 and the 3, and we just pump our fists and say dot, dot. It's a fun little weird thing that we do. I want to invite you to be weird with us. Will you read it with me nice and loud? It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:3. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, and just silently pray to God in your heart? I want to invite you to pray a simple prayer. It says, God, speak to my heart and give me the courage to do whatever you tell me to do. Would you spend a few seconds praying to him? God, we do ask that you'd speak to our hearts today. And we know that the way that you primarily speak is through your word, so we ask that you would speak and you'd help us to listen. But God, help us to not just be people who hear the word, help us to do what it says. Help us to obey you. Give us the courage to do that even when it's hard. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So I want to give you a little bit of context to what we're going to look at today. This is one of Jesus's, if not one of his most famous, it is probably his most famous sermon. And we call this sermon the Sermon on the Mount, and they're also referenced as the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes, you can see them, both Matthew and Luke in the New Testament record the Beatitudes. The term Beatitude, it is from the Latin adjective, which means happy. So literally what we're going to look at, the word, it's going to say blessed or blessed. And when we see that, it's going to translate to happy. So what Jesus wants to know is, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Some of you aren't very happy right now. Not only is your face showing it, your hands are showing it. So I want to give you that context because Jesus has a large crowd who gathers to hear him teach, and he literally titles the message, hey, this is the secret to happiness. If you want to learn how to be happy and content in your life, if you want to know how to live a happy life, here is what you need to do. With that being said, let's dive into our text, Matthew 5, starting at verse 1 through 3. It says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them." One thing that is really, really cool, and I highly recommend it, is if you ever get a chance to go to Israel, you can actually see where Jesus did this sermon. And I read this verse at the spot where Jesus gave this sermon, and it's kind of like a mind-bending experience. It's kind of cool just to say, wow, like these words, it makes them come to life when you know it's a real place on the earth where Jesus gave these words. Two people on the side of a mountain. This is what he said. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, if you didn't grow up in church, you probably read Jesus' words as blessed. But if you grew up in church, you know that's not blessed, it's blessed. I don't know why pastors speak that way, at least they used to. But if you grew up in church, it's just your brain translates it. It's not blessed, it's blessed. And you got to kind of have some phlegm in it. It's really fun. You should try it. On the count of three, just say blessed. One, two, three. Blessed. Some of you grew up in church, you know what I'm talking about. It's like you talk to the pastor after the service, he's a normal person, but during the sermon, it's like, blessed, highly and favored. And he has like this preacher voice, and it's like, God is good all the time, and all the time. You grew up in church, you get it. So Jesus said blessed, which can be translated happy. That's what Jesus is really saying. He's saying, if you want to know the secret to happiness, this is what you need to do. I think this verse is often overlooked, and I don't think it's taught very much in a lot of churches. I think this is so important to us. In fact, I want us to do something a little bit different today. I want us to memorize the text. And the reason I want to memorize it is because the next time that you are wanting to complain or to grumble, I want you to know this verse. I want it to come to life. There is something powerful that God does when you memorize Scripture. He brings it back to you at the right time. And so we're literally going to memorize this today. Now, some of you are like, I didn't sign up for that. I just wanted to come to church. Too bad. You're here. Buckle up. We're going to memorize this. And don't see this as a negative thing. See this as a positive thing. Your friends that go to other churches, when you talk about the church service, you say, how was your sermon? They'll say, oh, the pastor was pretty good. You can just throw it at them. Did you memorize the text? Because I memorized the text. I memorized the whole thing. And then you can give it to them, and they'll be like, wow, your church is awesome. It's going to be great. Can't wait to hear the stories of that. I had a teacher friend who said that a key thing to memorizing something is motions. And generally in my life, I'm anti-motions. I think they're really cheesy. But it is something true about if you do motions of something, it helps you memorize it. And so I've created some motions to go along with this verse. Now, this is an all play, and so I need you to participate in this. And so we're all going to feel a little silly, but it's going to help you memorize this. And you're going to keep these motions with you for the rest of your life. Even if you kind of forget the verse, you're going to be able to do these motions. And so I need you to participate, so I'm going to teach you the motions. So the first word is blessed. And you remember the old school cartoons, like when they would smile and their white teeth would just go ding? That's what we're going to do for blessed. When you say blessed, you're just going to smile ding. All right, so let's try it. Let's try it. One, two, three. Ding. So blessed are the poor. And what we're going to do is just pretend to like not have any money, like pretend to pull out your pockets, like I'm broke. And you can do both pockets. You don't actually have to pull it out. You can just do this motion if you want, okay? So, blessed, ding, are the poor, all right, in spirit. Now, why did I do this? It's because in the New Testament, when Jesus was baptized, the scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit ascended on him like a dove. And so, spirit, dove, we're going to pretend this is a dove, okay? So, let's put it together. We've got first, blessed, ding, are the poor in spirit. Okay. All right. For theirs, and this is the most fun part of the whole thing. We're going to go old school, and it's going to be like a dance move where we're going to point to people. You're just going to go for theirs. All right. Come on. Let's. There you go. There you go. Some of y'all grew up Baptist, and it's showing. You're like, we can't dance in church. All right. For theirs is the kingdom, and you're just going to put like a crown on your head. Of heaven. Happy fingers to the sky, okay? All right, so we're going to put this all together. Let's try it. And I'm telling you, the motions, as cheesy as they are, you're going to memorize this because of the motion. So, blessed, ding, are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All right, now, you did that very well, but you had a cheat sheet up there. And so we're going to take away your cheat sheet, and we're going to see if you can do this without any help, all right? I'm counting on you, especially those who clap during the happy and you know it. We need you to carry us through. Carry us through this moment, all right? So let's try it. Let's try it again. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Look at that. You got it. Give yourselves a hand.
It always cracks me up when I do an all play that there's some people who are like, I don't care what you say. I will not do that. Well, you aren't blessed if you didn't do those motions. Just telling you that. Blessed. Ah, blessed.
So now that you have that, I want to tell you that the next time you want to grumble or complain, just start doing those motions, because it's really hard to complain when you're like. But I want to tell you the meaning behind this. The reason that I wanted you to know this verse and I wanted you to memorize it is because the meaning behind this is so crucial for Christianity. And I'm afraid that there's a lot of us who signed up to be a Christian, but we didn't understand what Jesus actually meant by being a follower of his. This is the secret to happiness. This is the secret to what God wants from us. So we know that the word blessed means happy, but what does the word poor in spirit mean? What does that phrase mean? Well, I like what one commentary says. It says to be poor in spirit is not to lack courage, but to acknowledge spiritual bankruptcy. It confesses one's unworthiness before God and utter dependence on him. So we understand what physical bankruptcy is. We can imagine what it means to have no money. Spiritual bankruptcy is saying, I have no other hope but you, God. I can't rely on myself. I can't rely on my own strength. To be a Christian is to say, I'm going to follow after God. Here, if you're taking some notes, I encourage you to write some things down, and this is what I would start with. What is poverty of spirit? It is a sense of powerlessness in ourselves. It is a sense of powerlessness in ourselves. To be poor in spirit is to admit, I need Jesus. You know, I often will hear critics of Christianity say, you know, you Christians, you just have God. It's like a crutch. You need a crutch. And I'm like, is that supposed to be an insult? Like, what's wrong with a crutch? When you're broken, what do you use? You use crutches. Saying that faith is a crutch, I'm like, yeah, that's great. It's a crutch. I'm just showing that I'm not perfect, and I'm relying on the God of the universe to help me out. What are you doing? I'm not afraid to admit that I'm broken, that I have some issues. When we are afraid to admit it, we do not rely on God, and when we do not rely on God, we are not poor in spirit. It is a sense of spiritual bankruptcy and helplessness before God. It is literally crying out and saying, okay, God, I know you've made me to do great things. I know you've created me with a mind and a will, but ultimately I know that I am helpless to solve my own problems without you. It is a sense of moral uncleanliness before God. It is a sense of moral uncleanliness. When you are spiritually bankrupt, you understand that you have been a part of every bad decision you've ever made. That spiritual uncleanliness is ultimately saying, okay, I can't blame the condition of my heart on my parents. I can't blame it on the school that I went to. I can't blame it on my neighborhood. I have sinned. There's issues in my life that I am prone to wander from God. I'm prone to leave God. I'm prone to disobey God. That is our sinful nature. It is a sense of moral uncleanliness before God. It is a sense of personal unworthiness before God. Unworthiness. You'll see this often in the scriptures where someone comes into the presence of God and their first thought is, I don't belong here. In fact, Peter was one of Jesus' disciples, and when he sees Jesus do this miracle with this fish in the boat, he literally is like, God, get away from me. I don't deserve to be in the same boat as you. When you understand the goodness of God, when you understand the holiness of God, it literally puts your eyes on your heart and you're like, I don't belong. God, why would you allow a sinner like me to be in your presence? It is a sense that if there is to be any life or joy or usefulness, it will have to be all of God and all of grace. It's a sense, it's an understanding that ultimately our joy comes not from our circumstances, but it comes from our Savior. Ultimately, our joy comes from God. It comes from understanding that, God, you are the source of joy, and that's why I want to spend time with you. I don't have to spend time with you because I have to or because you're going to nuke me or because any other reason, then you are the source of joy. This is why the gospel is so incredibly important to understand. The gospel teaches us that we are way more sinful than we could ever care to imagine, but we are way more loved by God than we could ever imagine. Way more loved by God. The gospel tells us, yes, we are dirty, rotten sinners. And when we go to God's presence and we say, I don't belong, God says, hey, you don't belong, but I still welcome you in here anyway. The gospel, yeah, you can clap for that. The gospel is our daily reminder of just how desperately we need Jesus. We cannot fix our relationships on our own. We cannot fix our soul on our own. The gospel is a reminder of just how desperate we need Jesus. But here's the thing. The truth of the matter is that some of us just really stink at asking for help. And we don't like to ask for help from anyone, including the God of the universe. And the reason that so often we are not spiritually bankrupt is because we just keep telling ourselves, well, if I just keep working hard, if I just fix this, if I just ignore this problem, it'll go away. We rely on our own strength instead of bowing our knees to God and saying, God, I can't do this. When you bow your knee to the God of the universe, something amazing happens. Jesus says you become blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It's a backwards economy. Because you don't think of being broken. You don't think of being poor at anything in happiness. But Jesus is like, hey, you want to know the starting place of happiness? It's not in finding yourself. The starting place of happiness is understanding that how much you need God. Have you ever said, God, I'm just tired of doing this on my own. God, I'm tired of relying on my own strength. God, I'm tired of just making it Monday through Friday and just living for the weekend. God, I cannot do this on my own. Can I tell you that one of the things that we often resist, but I think God uses, is being a part of circumstances that are so much bigger than ourselves. If you are in a situation right now where you feel stressed or you feel anxiety, can I just tell you that if you become poor in spirit, this is a blessed place to be. We don't like to think of it that way because we like comfort. In fact, we're addicted to comfort. So when we are in difficult circumstances, we're like, God, why? Why'd you put me here? But maybe you're in a difficult situation because God wants you to stop relying on your own strength and he wants you to start relying on his strength. That when we're in a desperate situation where we're like, God, I can't fix this. I'm in over my pay grade. I don't know how to fix this. I don't know what to do. When you get to that place, you start to rely on God. And when you start to rely on God, that's where true happiness comes. And when we're happy, we're complaining a lot less. Jesus gives us an amazing example of this. And he paints this picture of two different people. One is a religious leader. And the religious leader is not broken before God. He's not poor in spirit. The other is a tax collector. Now, the religious leaders in Jesus' day were known as the Pharisees. Tax collectors were seen as the problem. They were seen as the sinners. If you were a tax collector, you were an enemy of the state. You turned your back on God's people, and you had become unified with the Roman government. And so, literally, the people in Jesus' day thought, the reason we're in captivity, the reason we're under Roman rule is because of these dirty, sinful tax collectors. And so Jesus tells this story, and he spins everything that they know on its head. And look at what Jesus says. It's in Luke 18, 9 through 14. He says, to some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is one of the best illustrations of what it means to be broken before God, to have a spirit that is poor. It's to acknowledge and realize where your strength comes from. And way too often, we are trying to fake it. We're trying to pretend to be better than we really are. We are addicted to posting happy pictures on social media and showing other people our highlights when in behind the scenes, it's a wreck. You know what God blesses? God blesses not the fake you. God blesses the real you that groans before him and says, God, I am a mess. And the answer is not to just keep faking it. The answer is you. So I'm just going to cry out to you. I'm going to keep crying out to you. I'm going to cry out to you as long as it takes. But I'm going to find that there is joy even in difficult circumstances. But it comes when you bow your knee and you trust that God's got you. It comes when you're poor in spirit. This is not an easy thing to do, but I want to challenge you. Have you ever bowed your knee before the God of the universe? It's not just a one-time prayer. It's not just something that you do once. It's something that you do often, and especially when you start to feel stressed or anxious or worried. Because for a Christian, we don't gain our strength from inside. We gain it from God. And so if you're anxious, I just want to encourage you and say you're in a perfect place for God to use you. And you're in a perfect place for God to do something amazing. But it's not going to come when you keep trying to control every situation. And it's not going to come when you stay up all night long worrying about what's going to happen. It's only going to come. That happiness and joy that God talked about, it only comes when you bow your knee and say, okay, God, you got this. You got the circumstance. You got the situation. And even if it's difficult, I'm going to trust that you're going to carry me through it. This is why Jesus said in Matthew 5:3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You want to know the secret to happiness? It's not relying on yourself. It's not relying on your own strength. It's not doing what you think is best. It's not finding your truth. If you want to find the key to happiness, it's dropping to your knees and saying, God, I am empty. I have nothing. And then God takes that brokenness and he starts to rebuild, and he does immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine. So may we be a people that finds our strength not in by pulling up ourselves by our own bootstraps, but may we find our strength in the God of the universe. May we understand that he allows us to be worried sometimes, and he allows us to be a part of difficult circumstances because he wants us to bow the knee and rely on him. So when we stop resisting the presence of God, and may we drop to our knees and know that our God's not done, and every broken situation is a chance for him to do a miracle. Will you pray with me? God, we come before you and we just ask in Jesus' name that you would fix, God, what's broken. We desperately need you. We desperately need you because we so often keep messing up our own lives. We keep relying on our own strength, God. And so I ask in Jesus' name that you would give us the humility to bow our knees. I ask right now in this moment that we would lay situations down at your feet. We cannot control other people. We can't fix other people. God, we can't even fix ourselves. So we ask right now that you would help us to be poor in spirit. That we would admit how much we desperately need you. And God, we just pray that you would give us that happiness that only comes from bowing a knee to you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.